I'm going to start out with a funny thing about myself. Just don't tell my kids. Yeah, we're taping this. Because it really has a message to it. I put some of these eye drops in my eyes, and someone was picking me up to go to the farmer's market, and I had a whole bunch of things going on, and I had to grab the bags, and I had, you know, grab the return jar. You know, a lot was going on. And so then they were there in the driveway, and so I had to go get out and lock the door and all. I'm preparing, because electricity's going out, to have a key. Just make sure you have a key, because I've been locked out before when the power's out. So I'm just practicing all these little practical steps. And so then I get outside, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I needed to get my hat, you know, because it was really sunny. And then I kind of looked around, and I just thought, well, I can't really see very good. I was like, okay, so still so much was going on in my mind. And then we get to the market, which is just blocks away. And all of a sudden I was like, I really can't see very good. I'm just kind of like, wow, you know, I don't know what's going on. Because I've had to use reading glasses now. And there's a long story of stuff with my retinas and eyes and stuff like that. So anyway, I just kind of endured and got home. And I took my glasses off. And I had my reading glasses on. The whole time I had my reading glasses on instead of my sunglasses. And I didn't know till I put it down. And my sunglasses, no wonder I had no protection from the sun. And I couldn't see anything because these are reading. So it's only for small print, as you know, you that have. So these are my regular glasses. And they have a reading thing in it, so in case I want to stop and get some, you know, stuff at the farmer's market, I can read. But I did not know I had the wrong glasses on until I took them off. And so my whole point is, when you put on the wrong glasses, you see things wrongly. And all of us came out differently, blurred, distorted, and through some lenses. And we've all come out of some of these false movements. And when you're coming today, I want you to take off the glasses that you've been programmed to put on, because a lot of us have Word of Faith glasses. A lot of us have different doctrines that have been pushed around. And when you read the Bible, you're not reading it for what it says. You're reading it through the wrong glasses. So I had to tell myself, just for you all, to make a point. I know it sounds crazy, but anyway, that's never happened before, and hopefully that'll never happen again to anyone. So let's open our Bibles to Mark. I thought we might as well lighten it up a little bit. There's so much heavy stuff going on. Today we're going to talk about something I've wanted to share for a while, and I'm going to try to be careful of my words so that it doesn't get kicked off of YouTube. And I would like all of you to please, I don't think you realize that there's these rhythms that the more you like, it goes up. And if you don't, they can bury you. And so I need people to help me push like and share it, just so that we stay in those rhythms. And it's really important for all of us to share this as while we can. Yes, and Tim reminded me, thank you so much for all of you that are helping us financially online. It's just been so encouraging from different countries. And I know it's a sacrifice, even for people, for $10. I know this is going to make me cry. That's why I don't like to talk about it. We just appreciate so much as people are sacrificing this time to help us. And I know you're going through things yourself, and that's why I wouldn't even ask. But I'm so thankful for all that you do for us to keep us going, because we are solo. As you know, we've come out of the belly of the beast, and we're trying to obey God and expose the things we've been in, and just help people get the right glasses on to see. And so today we're going to talk about leaven. We're going to talk about the leaven of the Pharisees. And we've talked about that mostly, so I'm not going to focus on that, but I'm going to talk about the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. I have not ever heard a message on the leaven of Herod, and I've been studying this for months. So today I think is the day that we need to talk about it. Now in Mark chapter 8, in verse 15, he's talking to his disciples. And remember, everything's in the Bible for a reason. The Old Testament is there for a reason. Many people are saying, oh, let's just do away with the Old Testament. No, there's the Old and the New, and then both of them are for us today. All Scripture is for us today. So he's talking to his disciples then, but he's also talking to us today, because he's preparing them what they had to go through, and he's also giving us kind of a hint what we're going to go through. And that's why I think my mission really is to take the Bible and what it says, but then how does it apply to us today? Because a lot of people won't read the Bible. They don't think it's worth anything. It's like, oh, that's just so hard to understand, and they don't want to read their Bibles. And so they sit under men, and they let men indoctrinate them with the wrong glasses. They don't search. They don't study. They have no idea if what they're saying is true or not, because, well, they're in the pulpit or they have a big ministry, so they must be telling the truth. Well, the main thing that the Lord told us in Matthew 24, what the sign of one of the end times, the biggest sign to me is, the greatest single danger in this end times, it's not sickness, it's not poverty, it's not persecution, even though all those things could be in our end times or probably are. The biggest single danger is deception. And deception, because the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod was then trying to kill Jesus, snuff him out. And it's also, we're going to go a little bit of that, and it's also here in the end times to try to snuff us out, because it's prophesied that these things are going to happen, and there's going to be, in Matthew 24, persecution, and those that come in the name of God are going to try to destroy Christianity because, sorry, the loons are here. It's Tim's clock going up. If that's going to go off 11 times, take it up. Okay. Oh, it's done. All right. So because of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, and I want to say that again, the greatest single danger in this end times is not sickness. Even though people will be getting sick and dying, they always have. Although now no one's dying from cancer, no one's dying from heart attacks, no one's dying from car accidents. Everyone's just dying from one thing, right? Just kidding. The single danger is not sickness, nor poverty, nor persecution. All those all have, it is deception. Let no man deceive you. And so the biggest deception has been what? In synagogues or in our churches that we've sat under because we didn't read our own Bibles. We let someone else interpret it the way they wanted to, and we became brainwashed into thinking this is our best life now. We don't have to worry about any problems. We just, you know, God's going to up and out of here when he's done, when, you know, we have no problems. Well, look at all the people around the world and tell them that. And look at the people in the Bible, what they've went through. So we have to learn to believe for the best, but prepare for the worst. Prepare your mind, prepare your mentally, and that's what we're trying to do. So we take what the Bible says, and then situations today, and at the end I'll give you testimonies from Ireland and India today. Interesting, but we hear from countries all over the world. But because of the leaven, and so we're going to talk about what leaven is, and it's deception to make someone believe something that is not true. To practice deceit, I'm still talking what deception is. To practice deceit, it's a hoax. You've been ripped off. You've been lied to. You're taking down a path, but it's not the true path. Deception is to mislead people and to mislead and trick people. How do you deceive people? By deceiving, by charm, persuasion, blocking out the truth. The Bible talks about the wicked. And today, now we've got data that can be manipulated, can be controlled. And it's also part of the leaven of Herod, what we're going to talk about. You have to be aware, because God told us, he's telling us through Jesus and Mark, he said, you got to take heed, and you got to beware. For what? Beware of the leaven. He charged his disciples, saying, take heed and beware. Now, what does it mean to beware? To be cautious. When I lived in Brainerd, when we would go on bike rides, and then later as I drove my car, we had a place we had to go through to get to my brother's house, and it was called Cemetery Hill. If I went back now, I don't know if it would be as bad, as scary as it was when I was little. You know how that is? You go, wow, it's a lot smaller than I thought. When you're young, things look huge, you know? So we would be afraid to go through Cemetery Hill because it had a huge hill, and then it kind of went down, and over to the left it was all these graves. you know, and then there was just weird things always, you know, cemeteries are scary. And so you just couldn't wait till you went down that hill, that cemetery, and then it went up, up, up. And it was really hard when you were on a bike to get up that hill. And we just thought we made it. Once you got through Cemetery Hill, you made it. But you had to be cautious because there was cars coming. And you, if you were on your bike, you had to pedal really, really hard and get, you know, get up there. And of course, I was the youngest of five. And so I was always at the tail end. My sister and brother were always way ahead of me on their bikes. And I was just pedaling. And I was very, really skinny at that time and very weak. And I just remember, I don't want to get off my bike and walk because they're just going to go and leave me in the dust. So not only did I not want to be left in the dust, but I didn't want to be left at Cemetery Hill. So what you have to do when you're driving and it's really icy, you have to be cautious because you don't want to have an accident. You don't want to get on the side of the road of the cemetery. You know, ghosts might come. And when you're young, you're scared of everything. But still, all that to say, beware. So we were always cautious when we went down that hill. So here he's telling his disciples, beware, beware, beware. He said, beware or take heed. Or avoid danger and problems. I kind of condensed it. I looked up a lot of words. To be cautious, to avoid danger, avoid risks. Beware. He's telling his disciples. Beware of the leaven. Now, leaven is a symbol of the influence of sin, of corruption, of lies, and deception. 1 Corinthians 5:8, leaven is malice and wickedness. He said it's malice and wickedness. The wish to harm or upset other people to cause injury is what malice is. Well, how many know people that are evil do bad things to good people? So he's saying in 1 Corinthians 5:8, he said he wants us to have the unleavened sincerity and truth. He wants us to not be full of sin. He doesn't want us to be wicked. He wants us to be sincere. He wants you to tell the truth. Don't always make excuses and lies. And that's what he's telling us here. Be careful of the leaven of two things, not just one. We've discussed a lot about the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious systems. But we also need to know about the leaven of Herod. Do you know what the leaven of Herod is? So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of Herod, the malice and wickedness. Is it true today? He told his disciples then to beware. Has things changed? Well, if you don't know what the Pharisees represent, the religious system, and you don't know what Herod represents, the power over people system, then you won't know what to look for, and you will not be cautious, you won't be guarded, and you'll be very gullible, and you'll fall into the very things God doesn't want us to fall into, deception. So be cautious of the corruption, the lies, and the deception of Herod. Herod represents people that influence or have the power over others. People that influence the laws. Psalms 96:20, the throne of iniquity. It's a throne. That means there's a throne always represents what? Power. So the throne of iniquity frameth mischief by what? A law. You can say there's laws being put into place right now. They're not even being voted on. They're just being put into place. A throne of iniquity. Verse 21 in Psalms 26, they gather together against the soul of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Now in my research, I found a couple of things I want to say. Beware, first of all, he's told us, be cautious, avoid danger and problems. Beware of what? False prophets. We're supposed to beware of them. Be cautious, because they're there. Who come to you what? In sheep's clothing. They're not going to come to you like a wolf. They're going to come to you as an angel of light. And this is how Lucifer is. He comes sometimes like in The Wizard of Oz, the good witch. Because there's the good witch and there's the bad witch. There's the duality. There's the right and the left. They like to pit everyone against each other and play games, but behind the scenes, Mr. Wizard controls everything. It's like triangulation in high school. You have one friend, one person, and then she's close friends with this one and then that one, and then she controls that everyone likes her the best because she'll pit this one against that one, but she's in control of both of them. Well, Sally said this about you. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And she said this about you. And this, and here she is controlling the strings of relationships for the outcome they want. Interesting. So beware of the false prophets, the religious systems. Have we exposed that? Yes, the last 6 years we've done that. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, what? They're wolves. So they're not circumcised of the spirit. They're Ephesians 6:12, principalities and powers. We're seeing more and more people's testimonies that come out of the darkness saying how they communicated, they astral projected, they went out in so-called the glory and traveling and hearing all these voices and going not only to the second, but now they're having daily heavenly visitation. They're astral projecting and they're doing things in the name of God, but guess what? They're looking through the wrong glasses because they're not going to tell you this is an occult practice because everybody's doing it. In fact, you're not really with it and cool if you aren't having visitations daily. So this is a big thing that's happened in the body of Christ. So he told us, beware. When we stand before him, he's going to say, I told you. I told you to beware of what? False prophets, the Pharisees, and the leaven of Herod. So beware. Then in Luke 12:15, he tells us to beware, be on your guard against every form of covetousness or greed. We are not supposed to want what God doesn't want us to have. In our churches, what we did, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and 2000s, when it was just preachers would get on stage and talk about how many airplanes they had, how many houses they had, how great they were. And if you just bless them because they're God's man, you know what that is? Wrong glasses. You're totally in the wrong realm because we're listening to what men is saying, and that's a doctrine of men, and you got to come out of it. And it is work to come out of these doctrines. You've been in them 30 years. Guess what? You're not going to just, you know, you've been sitting under false teachers for a long time. So you got to study. You got to do your own research, which most people do not do because it takes work to test a spirit, to try a spirit. But many are awakening now. You know why they are? It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. They were manipulated into, you know, here's a carrot, just do this and you'll get that. God doesn't operate that way. And he wants us to bless and take care of other people, and he wants us to put their needs first. Instead, we come to church, what's God going to do for me? Everything the devil does is a reversal. So beware and be on guard against greed or covetousness. We got to guard our own heart. Do I really need that, or am I being, you know, do I want other people to think I'm cool if I buy this and if I drive around this and I live in this and then I'm going broke for the approval of man? So we've never been taught to judge ourselves. Is this what you can afford? The churches have put us in debt to impress each other. How sad is that? That's really sad. Nobody cares. Then he tells us to beware of dogs. In Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Well, first of all, what does this mean? Beware, evil dogs attack. So beware of dogs, evil workers. And what do the evil workers do? They mutilate the flesh. There's some religions where, you know, they mutilate women. They mutilate parts of women. Wow, he's telling us to beware of anybody that's going to mutilate people in his name or in the name of a God. Beware of the false circumcision. What's that? It's outward. Maybe they've done surgery and they've done circumcision in the flesh, but they haven't done it with their heart. God's looking at our heart now. It's a whole new thing. He wants us to look at our heart. He wants us to be cut by the word, to be convicted. It's okay if God chastens you and you learn lessons from him. It's hard on the flesh, but yay when you come on the other side of it. You learned that lesson, or guess what? Take another round. Take another round because you haven't learned it yet, and you're eventually going to have to take that test and pass it. So he wants us to get cut, convicted, and then converted. But these evil workers, they have not the right kind of heart. They've never let God really, many of them have never been born again. And then some get born again and then they let the evil systems overtake them and they start serving greed and covetousness and themselves. and they need to repent and get right with God. And we all need to judge ourselves. It's good for us to just always say, Lord, forgive me. Help me walk in love. Help me not be offended. I can't handle this. I give it to you. The simple little prayers is what God's looking for. Because people now have been in these long intercessory prayer things and they go, I don't know how to pray. As a little child. As a little child, just let your request be made known to God. And realize we are in a spiritual war. The angels, there's dark and there's good. So we need to pray more than ever. And Lord, help me. God, give me direction. Let me hear your voice. Lord, I want to do the right thing. Am I supposed to take this job? Am I supposed to do this? You know, Lord, lead me. So we have that intimacy of fellowship that's very simple. You don't have to be religious, please. Everybody thinks it's nauseating when these people pray these long prayers. So who is the Herodians? Now, I got this from my research, just some things that I thought that we needed to hear about. Who were the Herodians? At the time of Jesus, there were certain groups. There were the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, that held positions of authority and power over people. Other groups were the Sanhedrin, the scribes, and the lawyers. Each of these groups held power in either religious or political matters. The Herodians held political power, and most scholars believe they were a political party that supported King Herod Antipas, as I said that right, the Roman emperor. The Herodians favored submitting to the Herods and therefore to Rome for political advantages. This support of Herod compromised the Jewish independence in the minds of the Pharisees, making it difficult for the Herodians and the Pharisees to unite and agree on anything. But one thing did unite them: opposing Jesus. Herod himself wanted Jesus dead. Luke 13:31. The first appearance of the Herodians in Scripture is Mark 3:6. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now remember, he told us to beware, didn't he? Beware of the Pharisees, beware of Herod, the leaven, the deception, the lies, the control, the manipulation, the hoax, the tricks. Jesus regarded the two groups as in unity against him, as against him, and warned his followers against them. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Again, Mark 8:15. Yeast in this context is false teaching, the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, and being a hypocrite or lying, bringing people into what? Deception. What's going to be the biggest sign of the end times? Deception. The lesson we learned from the error of the Herodians is that we are not to put our trust in men, but the Lord and his will. We put our trust in the Lord. When we put our trust in the false systems of the world that have been here since you were born, this has gone on forever and ever. When we put our trust in them and think that they're our Savior, remember, we are not here. This is not the kingdom of God. This is right now, this is the world. Those that love the world, the things of the world, the Jesus kingdom is coming. We're going to talk about that at the end. He allows this. He allows the nations to develop, to war against him and his saints, but he will crush them. But something I did not get to last week, Colossians 2:8, I wanted to talk about some of the leaven of Herod. We're going to look over here at Colossians 2:8. It says, beware, beware again. Here's this, be cautious, be on guard. Are we being taught to be on guard of anything? Do you ever hear anything but positive messages? Yeah. I've come to church, be happy, sing about yourself, how you're going to be blessed. People are totally in the dark about what's happening in their day, in their life, because they're in this cloud of deception with religious glasses thinking nothing bad is going to happen in the world. Well, things are changing fast from all different countries. I'm getting emails, and if I haven't responded, I haven't got it. Sometimes I don't get people's emails. Send them again. Beware lest any man spoil you through what? What's going to happen? He's telling us to watch for. I want you to get this word, philosophy. Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of what? The world we live in, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. So what is this philosophy? It's the lover of wisdom of this world. So that brings us over to the lover of wisdom, Alice Bailey. Who is Alice Bailey? She is the prophetess of the United Nations. Alice Bailey, organizer and founder of Lucifer Publishing Company, now called Lucis Trust. It was a little bit in plain sight. Let's change that name. Again, founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. Now, this is sad because this is out of the United Nations. And all these agendas now, Agenda 21, which most of you know about now, and some of these other, the Go Green, a lot of these things are coming from the United Nations. So do you want to know the leaven of Herod? Do you want to know what's really going on? Are you going to open yourself up and watch the world through the wrong glasses and totally become deceived and not on guard for what's happening in the world today? We need to know who she is because she's ruling from the grave. A lot of these people are dead, Saul Alinsky, but their philosophies are alive. Now, Alice Bailey, she's one of the founders, the leading founders of the New Age movement. Her philosophies, under the direction of a spirit guide. Now, she contacted, you know, you go out and you get these visitations from what? Spirit guides, which is what? Forbidden in Scripture. We're not supposed to be going and seeking out demonic voices and spirits and visitations. We don't push ourselves into those realms. The occult does. The occult gets fed information from spirits. Remember, spirits are still alive. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. They're still here. They're going to be here. God has not taken care of that yet. He will one day, but at this point in time, they're still here. We in the church, we're told they don't exist. That Satan really doesn't have a plan. He's defeated. So what were all of us put to sleep? We are all put to sleep where a lot of these action plans and community organizations were set in place while we thought we didn't need to get involved anywhere. Her philosophies, under the direction of a spirit guide, she wrote 24 books. And she talked a lot about ascended masters. Now I want to say something about ascended masters. Let's look at Matthew 23. Because I'm hearing more and more about this in so-called church, big churches, that so-and-so has become a master now. A master. Well, you mastering, let me just hold on here. There's so much I'd like to say. Okay, let's look at Matthew 23. Again, Jesus is speaking to what? His disciples, saying the scribes and the Pharisees, here they are again, sit in Moses' seat, so they have authority. They all bid whatsoever they bid you, they observe, you observe and do, but do not follow their works, for they say and do not. So here's what? Hypocrisy, here's deception. They're telling you one thing, but they're not doing it themselves. That's not a true leader. A real leader is not on this pyramid where they're so high up and you serve them like you'd serve Christ. We serve each other that way. We're all to serve one another in the fear of the Lord. We're to honor each other. And we honor the offices, but we were taught you can't touch the anointed. Well, let me tell you today, they're not anointed. They're not anointed from God. They're anointed from another spirit that puts you under control and under submission and puts you to sleep. So half of my battle has been trying to wake these people up that are in these churches that don't want to wake up. Don't tell me everything's going to be shaken. Don't tell me there's persecution. Don't tell me. Well, you know what? It's happening whether you like it or not. And one thing we found out, we can't control God. You can't control him just because you're looking in the wrong glasses. I had to ask Kathy here. I said, what's that sign say when I had those wrong glasses on? Because I couldn't see for myself. I had never taken my reading glasses out in the sun before. So that was not a good thing. Never do that again, hopefully. But I'm just saying, the whole thing is we're looking through the wrong glasses. We're seeing things blurred. We're not seeing correctly. We're not seeing what the Lord is saying. We're seeing through the interpretation of religious systems and governmental systems, everything. And they're joined together. They're joined together against the Lord and his anointed, and especially in this hour. We're coming to the end of the church age. Different ages are coming. Different times are coming. But God is merciful. We're not in the end. We're in the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows we've seen that we've never seen before. But guess what? Other countries have seen these things. So he's telling us, so in other words, you just prepare. You endure. You don't freak out. You don't lose all your friends. You don't get divisive. You don't get offended. The hardest thing is going to be not be offended. Some of these people's Facebooks, you just want to throw them down the toilet, don't you? They're just going to fight over this and fight over that. And let's divide. Let's divide. Let's divide. We're not supposed to do that. This is the hour where right now it's not getting on this train or that train. It's stay solid. Be secure. Make sure that your heart is right, that you're not in pride pushing your doctrine on people. They don't want to hear push. People right now are already going through stuff, and you don't put on something. We don't want to put heavy things on people. There's a lot of stuff I could share. I only try to share. I pray, God, only let me share what you want me to share. Because it's not fun giving people stuff they don't want to hear. But you know what? It's happening in different countries, and they're like, thank you that I haven't lost my mind. I knew this. You're putting words to things I'm going through. At the end, when I share this on narcissism especially, they got a hold of us, our tapes, our YouTubes on narcissism in India. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. But anyway, let's get back to this. The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in place of power. They don't do it. They tell you to do it, but they don't do it. Religious spirits. So always they bind heavy burdens on you, grievous to be borne. Financial pressure they put on you. These people are hardly making it. And then these leaders, in order, they make you think God's going to not like you. These things are not from the Lord. God wants us to give, but he's going to lead us and guide us. He's not a control freak. He has a will. He wants us to do his will. Satan is the god of forces. Remember that. There's a push that you have to do it this way, where God, he honors your will. If you want to worship me, worship me. If you don't want to, he is not going to make us. But we saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego how that God works. You obey me or else. But you know what? He said, even if I go through the fire, I'm not going to turn my back on God. That's what we have to do. No matter what happens, we're following the Lord. We're trusting him. And I was thinking about Noah's Ark. And, you know, it says that the end time shall be like the days of Noah. They didn't burn up Noah's boat. That was pretty big, too. There was rioting. There was all this stuff going on. But God protected his ark. And he protected who was supposed to be in that ark. So God, we have to say, God, you're in control of my life. Because everyone's telling you to do this and do that. And don't. You can only prepare so much. And don't torment yourself with listening to controlled opposition tapes. If you don't understand that, I've been trying to harp on this forever, but you know, people get, someone today was, yesterday was texting me about this and that and this about the Great Awakening. Do you know what the Great Awakening is? And the Great Revival? There's nowhere in the Bible that says there's going to be a revival. He said there's a great falling away, and the revival is going to be the one world religion. It's going to be all faiths come together as one, which the Pope is directing right now. All of these come together. But guess who's left out in the end? Christians. Regardless who gets in some of these countries as prime ministers and whatever, these plans, these rulers, these kings, these thrones of iniquity, we don't put our trust as a savior of the world. We put our trust in the Lord. Because some of you guys don't realize it yet, but the Wizard of Oz controls both sides. And spare me your letters. You got to just trust the Lord. He knows what he's talking about. He doesn't want you to be deceived in this hour. I know, well, then I have no hope. Your hope is in the Lord. It always has been in him. Now they're making you just divide against your family. You know, pit you against each other. Isn't that a great plan? Divide and conquer? No, we're not dividing. If you want to divide against me, that's fine. I'm not going to play that. You know what? It's too much energy. And I'm only going to give my energy to the Lord in this hour. Anyway, wasn't planning on any of that. Heavy burdens. There are works they do to be seen of men. Verse 6, they love the uppermost rooms of the feast. You got to have a big chief seat, you know. You got to show how important you are. Some big ministry, whatever, wanted me to come on, was it a radio show or a Zoom thing with all these? And I was like, you know what? I've played that game before. No, I'm not doing it. I am not going to be anything other than just little me doing what I'm called to do. I don't like going on radio or television. They put me on television years ago. I hated it. They had to do it when I didn't know it. They'd tape you and put you on there. We don't want chief seats. We don't need the fame of man. We just want to obey the Lord and do what he tells us to do. And no more, no less. Because some people are so driven. They're doing things God never intended them to do. He never intended you, here I go, to put your ministry before your family. I lived that life of where you're neglected and your kids, they don't have time for your kids. They don't do. God never called you to put your ministry as an idol and then to worship that man and everybody bow down to him. That's idolatry. Okay, here we go into really some stuff. Love the uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues. Boy, you even get reserved seats. I used to get them all. I'd get front row, everything. I knew who was who in the charismatic zoo. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters. This is where I want to go. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We serve. The biggest delight is to help others. And some of us are rescuers. We try to help people too much, and you have to quit. And we're all learning when you can help some people. Sometimes you can't help your kids anymore. You've done what you're supposed to do, and now you're enabling. And so we learn lessons. And if we don't, we just keep going around that mountain again and again and again and again. Because they're also, if you just serve some people, they won't serve back. Nothing comes back. They're like, serve me. Woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. It's simple. God is so simple. They make it so hard, so complicated. You got to pray for 4 hours before God will hear you. You got to move the heavens. You got to move. You got to get in an airplane. You got to do this. Ridiculous. They don't go in themselves, but they don't let you go in either. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You make long prayers in verse 14 to be, boy, they're so spiritual. They never pray, but when they're in public, whoa, they're prayer religious. Woe unto you, you blind guides. So that's not good. We don't want to be that. So getting back about masters, ascended masters now in the secret societies, they climb up and then they get titles. Okay, now you're hearing more and more in some of our churches that we thought were good. You're going to have more of this coming into it. And just trust me, it's just beginning. Each have a special contribution to make towards human progress. Now, this is Alice Bailey in one of the seven major fields. Now, here is the Herodian, the powers that we're supposed to be aware of, because now here is Alice Bailey. Now, remember, the World Health Organization, the WHO, is within the United Nations. Who are the United Nations? Have you ever studied what their agendas are and what they're doing? So, here she said, we have a special contribution to make towards human progress. Now, these are the people that are not following the Lord and Jesus. These people have a global work, a global uniting all the nations together. And this has been in, what, progress for way before you could even imagine. Garden of Eden. In one of the seven major fields of world work, which are political, number one. Okay, we want to take over the political mountains. Now, what does that sound? Seven mountain mandate, the new apostolic reformation. If you don't know what that is, which we're seeing it now, we are seeing that mountain of politics invaded, infiltrated, and I won't say a whole lot about that, but go and watch the, if you can put, Mark, the New Apostolic Reformation underneath this so they can see that. If they've never seen it, you have to understand what's happening in our political system and religious. Now, these are the mountains. Political, religious, educational. Beware of what's happening in the fall. Make sure you're checking all the material that your children are reading. Make sure you're on top of it. The educational systems, the scientific, they want the mountain of science. To what? Science so-called. The Bible says it's science so-called. Philosophical mountain and the psychological mountain or economic. So this is still her, the mountains that she wants. This was a voice from those spirit guides that were moving through her to write these books, to say what's going to, the plan of the enemy, the end game of the enemy. Remember, God has an end game. The Satan counterfeits everything God does. He's the reversal of everything, genders, the world, everything that that God did. He said what? I will be like the Most High God. Artificial intelligence wants to know your thoughts. We're coming into a whole different technology of our phones are becoming weapons of what we do. And everything is changing fast. Things are happening very fast, all by design. So we as Christians, we should be aware. We should not be afraid. But if you don't know what's coming, knowledge is power. So if God's telling you stuff to watch out for, and again, I pray, don't go to the right or to the left. Lord, keep me balanced. Stay down in the middle. Because if you get over too far, you everything you see through another wrong glass. So you got to keep it in perspective of what the Bible says and keep in your Bible, because the Bible becomes more alive when you start seeing things happening in our life. Okay, so many of Americans, rich and powerful, including high-ranking government officials, have been members of Bailey's Lucis Trust. And there's some place you can even go and look and find who these members are. It's headquarters at the United Nations Plaza. So God told us, didn't he? Tell us to beware. Tell us to beware of the philosophies of men. Well, here's Alice Bailey's philosophy. So this is universalism. It's worshiping the earth, Mother Gaia. It's different things that are all coming together. And these are all signs that God told us. When they start worshiping the earth and not me, when they start saying you can't go here, we're going to take a day and just let the earth rest, we've progressed really far into this movement, okay? Today, the new spirituality, the belief that all religions are equal, all roads lead to God, universalism, that Christ is redefined. Now Jesus is a master. They call Jesus a man, the master. It's a new age Jesus. He's an ascended master. And every person, they say, can become an ascended master. Hitler declared, man is becoming God, and man is God in the making. Hitler declared, man is becoming God, man is God in the making, and declared, we are having a new world order. So this is not new. This was a test. So Bailey's philosophy, it's wisdom from the gods. It's wisdom from spirits, and their secret knowledge and their secret religions. Remember, everything God does is in the light. We don't have to take secret oaths to go higher. We don't have to do any of this stuff. This is the secret. This is how they maintain their power and go higher in their influence. It's totally opposite. God tells us to go down, humble ourselves, be a servant, serve each other. The enemy's kingdom wants you to go up and be like God. Even the commercials we were watching says, I will be me. I will, and it just hit me, the I will. I will be like the Most High God. So, what's Alice Bailey's philosophy in a nutshell? There's no angry God. There's no hell. The only hell is on earth itself, where we work out our own salvation. Who does that sound like? Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, many people in our churches. What will this religion, the world religion, be based on? Pagan spirituality or occultism? We're seeing it now already. People are being told all these different things and they don't realize it's rooted in the occult. The New Age Jesus came to teach Christ consciousness, the force of energy. Have you heard more and more of the energy? I'm sending you good energy. How are you going to send me good energy? I'm sending energy. I'm like, really? No, no, pay my bill, okay? Come and pay my electric. The New Age Jesus came to teach Christ consciousness, the force or energy to tap into her own godhood. All right, we're going to close in Psalms 94. You guys doing okay? So now we're seeing the Agendas 21, Great Reset, the Green New Deal. The spiritual battle rages on. What is it, the wicked versus the righteous? It always has been the wicked versus the righteous since the Garden of Eden, right? Mm-hmm. Satan promised, you'll be like me, you'll be like God if you just do what I say. So let's look, Psalms 94, and I'm going to skip around. Take your time and go through this. This is all full of what many agendas are. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belong, as mad and angry as we get as some of this stuff that we see, release it to God. Vengeance belongs to him. You're only wasting, wearing out yourself trying to get back revenge, get mad, get everyone turned against each other, do smear campaign. What a waste of time. So people have wronged us. Yes, they have. Well, it's the Lord's problem. We just keep trusting God to, you know, I've been through a lot with narcissism, narcissistic families, religious devils. You know what? We press on and we trust our future with God. We've all faced different things and in the future, but God's been with us. He's strengthened us. Have you ever looked back at your past and said, how did I make it through that? How did I ever, as a mother, not knowing what I'm doing, how did I ever, or as a guy on a job, how did I ever make it through this? You know, God was with you. And he is with you. And he said he'll never, ever leave you. And he's not going to forsake us now just because we're seeing more of the plans of these systems coming together. They're coming together. These systems are coming together. They've always been together, but they're in plain sight now how they're coming together. So he said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, whom vengeance belongs, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. And guess what? God will take care of the proud. They boast now. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? Have you ever wondered? Verse 5, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. Verse 6, they slay the widow. They're thieves. They overtax. They take money. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They're hurting people's finances. Wait till the Great Reset. That's what their plan is. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. But I want you to know God is watching. He's watching everything they do, and he's watching everything we do, and he's watching our responses to everything. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formeth the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He shall teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. See, so the devil wants to know your thoughts. This is what's coming up more and more with artificial what you want, what kind of product you want. It's going to be in your ads. All of a sudden, you talk about something and there's that ad. He wants to be like the Most High God. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Oh yeah, God's pit, he's digging a pit for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Verse 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? He had them then, we have them now. We had the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herods. We have them now. They have not disappeared because we showed up and we're so great. It's funny how people think they have power and they really don't. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? A lot of the things they're doing now in different countries, what I'm hearing, they're changing things. It's a law, and they introduce it through fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So who's introducing these laws? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Always have, always will. But the Lord is my defense and my God and is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and he shall cast them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cast them off. In Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings, these leaders, these prime ministers and presidents, whatever they might be, popes and bishops and pastors and whatever these systems are, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? God is going to set up a kingdom. And this is our goal. This is our hope. Lord, we're going to please you. This is testing ground. We are not going to get weary. We consider Jesus lest we faint in our minds. We're going to endure to the end. What's the end? When God tells us it's over. The devil doesn't get to tell you when it's over. Our life is in God's hands, right? I'm sure he thought he was going to get Noah and all those people, but guess what? God spared them. Set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Nobody else is going to be your prime minister. Nobody else is going to have rules over you and tell you your tax just raised 5% again or 3%. Nobody else. Just think, no more bills there. Hallelujah. No more taxes there. No more aches and pains. Because this outer man perishes, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. Why? Because your inner man, you're never going to die. It's just twinkling of an eye, this flesh. But guess what? When you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you live forever. They don't like that. They want to build robots. They want to make parts of your body, you know, technical and do this and that. And they've probably been doing it for a long time to make athletes supernatural, whatever. But guess what? You're going to have a body that the devil wants, that body that God's going to give you. So don't get impressed with the world. Don't get impressed with these sports figures. Don't be impressed with Hollywood. That's what they want, everything. Our glasses, they want us to see everything through Hollywood. It's wood. You're going to be walking on streets of gold, right? But that's our model. When little girls are looking at these glamour magazines, they feel bad about themselves. I don't look good enough. I don't look like them, and I don't look like them, and they're supposed to be our model. No, we have to teach them right away. This is not your model. This is not our focus. But they're not going to be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So there's coming a time where God will deal with, in his time, we are not going to control God and tell him when it is. All you control freaks. Okay, God is going to do it when he wants to do it. It's not our time. It's his time. It's his world. It's his life, right? So it's going to stand forever. And this is where our hope is. Our hope is in trusting in God. He's our hiding place. He's our refuge. As these things in the world happen, our trust has to be in God. And beware of the leaven of Herod and of the Pharisees. Okay, and then just two letters quick. I'm not going to say the whole thing because it's getting late. But this was someone from they have fallen prey to the New Apostolic Churches in Australia. So this letter is from Australia this week. Our state premier is trying to change laws. We talked about that. To extend states of disaster longer. Our prime minister announced a few weeks back that our future is digital. And she sent me the clip, and I saw it. He told him we are now one step closer to digital. And then she said, this week, the news reported we are one step closer to going digital as they have removed hundreds of ATM machines while we have been in lockdown. All of their ATMs have disappeared. Then she iMessaged me and said the bank and branches and the ATMs are closing. All churches have been closed since March there. The poultry and meat are disappearing because you know why. And I've talked to you about the war on meat in the end times. The Bible says they're going to tell you that meat's not good. Poultry and meat greatly reduced production. Now we have curfews. No travel, 5 kilometers from home. You can go 1 hour outside, either to work or not to work, to exercise or go shopping, 1 hour. That's what prisoners do. Do you know they get 1 hour of recess? Permits to go to work. Get this. Permits, if you're a grandmother, to have your grandchildren. If you babysit, you have to have a permit. This is Australia right now. Every country's different. But let me tell you, the spirit of Herod isn't different. Grandparents need permits to babysit in their own home. She said there's new towers going up absolutely everywhere while they're in lockdown. There's hundreds of people in their daycare or hot spots. Lots of military that put fear on you on the television. She said many people are out of jobs. Into your yard for 1 hour. You can shop or you can exercise. That was this week from Australia. Now this one's a different about narcissism. This is from India. And we get these all the time. I just think it's important that because you're not getting news anymore, that you know what's happening in other parts, because we're censored now. We don't get much. So I want you to keep sending me things so I can share. Now, this was someone from India, and they got a hold of the Narcissism in the Church YouTubes, which I think we've done 5 of those a while back. And we served in the worship team, small group leaders, leaders of outreach and discipline or discipleship programs. And they agreed to start planting churches in a city far where we live, far away from where we lived. We resigned from our jobs, pulled out our children from a really good school, and moved to this new place, all for the sake of the kingdom of God. Little did we know or realize that the next 2 years were going to be an extremely abusive situation. Every single thing that you mentioned in your video, we went through, wow. Experienced, and then big, exactly, letters, capital. This pastor from the U.S. has left a trail of destruction for 25 years. Many individuals and families have been victims of his abuse and abusive leadership. It wasn't until some good pastor friends of ours told him, basically, you're in an abusive situation, and it's very spiritual abuse, and you need to get out. And then they struggled, because, you know, you don't want to touch the anointed. You don't want to do anything bad. You know, we've been told to just be muzzled. Hello, spiritually, now physically. After much struggle to leave, we eventually left and returned to a place where we were earlier. By then, we'd lost our jobs, lost all our finances and our savings. We lost all of our peace. We lost our joy. We lost all our friends and so much more. And if you've been in, like I have, you've been in narcissistic relationships, it is hell on earth. Because if your mercy, and usually the merciful ones get attached with these people, you think you can change them, you think you can help them, but it is, like he says in here, I've been trying to scream and say this is not a problem of leadership style, but a personality disorder that is creating a highly abusive and toxic environment. Most of all, people's lives are being destroyed. And on he goes. So thank God they got some help and they're coming out of it. And so we're adding this to our prayer list to pray for these people from these narcissistic churches. And this is happening everywhere, worldwide. Thank God for us that we're in the belly of the beast came out. From Ireland, they just got delivered from the New Apostolic Reformation as well. What they said, same kind of things, overreach. Everything's being overreached, restrictions, liberties being taken away. So we live in the day of the leaven of these systems, but God, right? So he that endures to the end, but you have to know what you're living. You're living in the world. We're here, but we're not of it. We are the kingdom of God. We're born again, but his kingdom isn't going to manifest until this is destroyed. But the beast is rising. We see this beast is rising. It has been rising for many, many years, but it's now rising in the United States. We're seeing it more and more. We're seeing things happen we've never seen. It's a weekly thing to find out more news. And sometimes you know what you got to do? Shut it off. Take a break. Go outside. Do something different. I have my play days. I have my granddaughter. We don't do anything on the internet. We do just, you know, nothing. We do nothing days. You just have to go around and just have fun. Just enjoy your life. And don't just feed yourself full of bad things and the news. The news is just tormenting. oh, it's over here now, and you were at a restaurant, and you've got it, and you've got it, and you've got it, and it's going to increase. So what do? Just know, the spirit of Herod is definitely rising. And not to be shocked, but beware of it. Amen. Father, we thank you for, boy, this got a lot longer than I thought, but thank you for just helping us beware of what's really going on in our world. You don't want your children to be in the dark. You want us to have light. You are the truth. You are the way. And many other people are saying they're the light now, and this is the way, and they're confusing people. People are thinking this is the way to go, and I want to be a part of the next move of God, and it's all going to be different now, and everything's so different. No, it's following you. It's very simple. It's childlike. Even a little child can accept Jesus as Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that also gives us guidance and direction and wisdom every single day. What to do, not to go. Maybe we weren't supposed to go there today. Maybe we are. Whenever we've overruled that witness, we've always regretted it. So thank you for being there and keeping patient with us as we learn your word and your ways. And everyone said?
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.